First of all, thank you very much I'd like to thank the organizers for inviting me, for giving me the opportunity to visit this wonderful place and wonderful time going on here. And I'd like to talk about, today I'd like to talk about the Majorana fermions on, associated with a superconducting topological insulator. So these are my collaborators and my boss in Riken here, Furusaki-san, and also the former student who visited us in Riken from the APH, Peter Snoyfer. And main work has been done by him. And so let me start with our classification scheme. I'm not the right person to or explain all these things, but if you have some questions, then please ask the person who is here, since he's here. And among those many classified classes, so integer quantum Hall states, spin for Kyler period cell, those are interesting. And but nowadays, we have a quantum spin Hall state stem in two dimensions and a zeta topological, three dimensional topological insulators here. And we also know from the superfluid helium B, helium 3B phase, that there is some system. I mean, this system is located around here. And we also know that spin couples, superconductors can be classified in those cases. And now we also know that there are many, since we are many, we have many proposal from theories on Majorana fermions, and those can be candidate as cases for the realization of Majorana fermions on, for instance, quantum wires. So my talk is a little bit associated with these classes. Okay, so let me start with the very elementary part of the explanation for the Majorana fermions. So he, although he suddenly disappeared after this device in this his fermion particles, so we have half particles that are their own on the particles. And actually, he disappeared one year later here. But in any case, these are the fermions that own their own other particles. That means self-Hermitian particles. So that could be realized for, of course, neutrinos. But in the condensed matter physics, we have many examples associated with the body of glass particles in superconductors or superfluids. So there's those are fermions, original fermions is represented here F, and if A and B complex conjugate, then this satisfies, this gamma satisfies this self-Hermitian conditions. So then Majorana fermions can be realized. So then to accommodate Majorana fermions, actually, it is possible to accommodate Majorana fermions at the vortex cores and at the zero modes of the topological superconductors. And those are many examples from different systems, like single superconducting 2D Dirac fermions. That is a really old example. And also, nowadays, we also know that a numerical five-half fractional quantum Hall system can accommodate those Majorana zero modes. And also the kind of PEF superconductors can do, and also the superconducting quantum wires. the first, maybe the first, I'm not sure, but the proposal for the Majorana fermions have appeared in the on atomic fermion quantum wires. And those are devised as the platforms for the quantum information processing or quantum computing. And that is utilized for the main features that could be utilized for the quantum Fortran quantum computation is the non-Abelian nature of this case. And then those are the best models invented in 2003. And those are actually the simple spinless P-wave superconducting system in 1D. and that could be considered to arise from the proximity effect of the some superconducting wires or something else to the superconductors, for instance, in the case of the condensed matter physics for solids. And then actually they can be mapped to a simple model of this, and when chemical potential is zero and the superconducting order parameter is equivalent to the Hopping amplitude T. So then we have a Mariner fermions. And those Mariner fermions can be also considered for some kind of PM super free atomic quantum wires, and those exploited PWF resonance in lithium or potassium atoms. So then the braiding operations of fermions actually can be considered as a kind of quantum gates that is useful for the quantum computations. And another very recent proposal has also appeared, and that is actually also the quantum wires. But they say that those Mariner braiding can be realized in a dissipative process. So that could be more practically meaningful. And also the Mariner fermions in solids have been also considered by many people, for instance, by Professor Kane here. And they exploited the proximity effect of the superconductor on the topological surface state. And they put different two superconductors apart from this edge, this narrow regions. And then those have a different phase angle for the superconducting order parameters. And then they say that as function is phi, they can see appearance of the Mariner fermion chain on this strip. And then under the bounds, they can be realized and without breaking time reversal. And other examples are like this, and that's there is some sandwich structure of the semiconductor device, sandwiched by the magnetic insulator and also superconductors with a out of plane, in the presence of out of plane magnetic field. And also another interesting proposal is Mariner braiding with the T junctions using the semiconducting quantum wire, those kind of wires. So then what I talk about today is a little bit similar but different situations, namely the we try to consider the in-plane, effective in-plane magnetic fields like this coming from the magnet insulating magnets. So in most of the cases, so people consider no magnetic field or out of plane magnetic field. So in this case too. So we try to consider the in-plane magnetic fields, which is more likely in magnetic thin films because of the magnetic anisotropy or dipole interaction and so on. And then I'll try to see what happens. Okay. So this is our model, our study model. That is that can describe the interface of the superconducting 2D Dirac fermions with a ferrum magnet. So the first part is a 2D Dirac fermion plot, and this is a Riemann peak, and this is chemical potential, and this is a superconducting order parameter. So and we assume that the S3 superconductor conductivity is realized if the those are mounted magnets are taken off. And also, we can put some effective potential, but it's much simpler to consider the type 2 limit where kappa goes to infinity, because in that case, to decide, to determine the form of the superconducting order parameters, or those change modification of this order parameter due to the field, could be considered to arise solely from the Zeeman interactions, Zeeman terms, but not the orbital magnetic field. And so then the simplest example is that we can suppose that suppose that we can have just an implant magnetic field that is uniform, spatially uniform. So in that case, this uniform magnetic field, you can just induce a shift of the Dirac cone, and that gives rise to a total momentum, finite total momentum, the Cooper pairs. And that is represented like this, just proportion to them. And but in the case of the more complicated cases, for instance, we have since if you have a domain walls here, and then we need more of course sophisticated theory. But it's better to work in a simple way. So we consider the Kintsev Glandorf model. So before going to the, discussing the Kintsev Glandorf, let me explain some example of the phenomenologic domain walls. So it is known that block wall is really conventionally realized in bulk ferromagnet. So here the moments are pointing this way and the opposite direction this way. those spins rotate like this. And so that is a cell graphy. But in the case of thin film, usually the male wall is a preferred because those kind of block walls can sometimes induce magnetic monopoles on the surface. So since this surface and another, the two surfaces, bottom and the top, are very close. So this cannot be realized. So instead, we have a nail wall. Then the spins are rotated in the plane. But those are actually realized when the magnetic anisotropy is quite small. And if you have a large magnetic anisotropy, even it's possible to have a head-to-head or tail-to-tail domain wall. So namely, the moments are aligned in this way. And in the domain wall of this core region, we can have this kind of distribution of moments. So that can be modeled with a very simple analytic form of the, which is divergence 3. So here the, we introduced some length scale for the domain wall, namely this domain wall thickness, and also some anisotropy which characterizes the change of the moment in space, or x direction or z direction. Z direction is out of plane direction. So we consider the two cases. One is this one, so namely moments distributed like this, pointing, changes like this, and or another one like this. So instead of z direction, we can consider the, some field distributions, field change along the y directions. So in that case, the point can be realized. So namely, here we consider the Kintsev-Glandorf model. So delta is the order parameter as a function of positions.
Is the superconductivity two-dimensional or three-dimensional?
Two-dimensional. So we are considering the, some surface state. And
so what's making the surface state superconductive?
OK, so let's go back to the Hamiltonian. So we suppose that the bulk system is basically a topological insulator, 3D topological insulator. But as I discussed at the end of the talk, it could be possible to have some realization of the superconducting order parameters. I mean, by some, for instance, in the case of the bismuth selenide, two, three components. Although, I mean, some people say that that could be a topological superconductor.
But that's more interesting. Like the copper dose.
Yes,
but
yes.
Then it would be a three-dimensional superconductor.
Yes, but the surface, yeah, so in that case, yeah, you are totally right. But it's not that trivial. the system is a topological superconductor. But another possibility is that the bulk is a topological insulator. But suddenly, that could be become superconducting, but not the topological superconductors. So in that case, surface states are basically Dirac. But because of this superconducting order parameters, they can have some superconducting gap. So basically, we are concerned that the Dirac fermions are associated with the surface state of the topological insulators, and that is actually affected by some, for instance, another way of considering is the kind of proximity effect of the superconductors.
Right. I'm saying, but I guess the question I'm having is whether the superconductor is fluctuating in a two-dimensional way or in a three-dimensional way. So if it's proximity from the bulk superconductivity, then it would be a three-dimensional superconductivity, right?
Yep. So we are concerned that basically the superconductivity is really somewhere, I mean, in the bulk or the topological insulator or somewhere else. So just we are concerned that 2D Dirac fermions with superconductors and also the exchange fields. So we consider the another way, I mean, I can also answer to your question like in this way. So this is basically the we are considering here. We are considering the change of the superconducting order parameter on the surface, just on the surface. But we are not, trying to consider the whole bulk superconducting order parameters. So we are assuming that those bulk superconductivity is characterized by the S wave. Or gap for superconductivity. So that's a simple starting point, our assumption. So then we're trying to consider the field change of the superconducting order parameter on the surface. That's why we have a two-dimensional integral here. And this is a conventional way, but the Zeeman field induced by the magnets can be regarded as a kind of fictitious vector potential here. So, and actually this vector potential can induce a magnetic field, a fictitious magnetic field. But in this case, it turns out that this fictitious magnetic field vanishes at the surface, on the bottom surface. So basically it does not affect anything, the surface state at all. But if we consider, we have a kind of numerical solution of this to this Ginzburg-Arndt model. And we also see that in even the numerics, we have no modification on the second order parameters here on the bottom surface. So next, I discuss the case where the the field change of this, special change of the magnetization is occurs in this way. So namely the domain wall structure is characterized by this way, and here the moments are pointing along the z direction at the center of this domain wall. So in this case, we have some effective magnetic field, fictitious magnetic field at the domain wall. So similarly, we can consider this Ginzburg-Arndt model, and then the fictitious magnetic field is calculated in this way. And at the bottom surface, we have this kind of a very localized effective magnetic field. And only at the just right at the domain wall, center of the domain wall, we have a large amount of fictitious magnetic field like this.
Excuse me, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So this order parameter, does it have any spin indices or anything, for instance, complex?
We assume that the S wave case, or I mean, spin singlet. So we didn't consider any modification, for instance, inclusion of the triplet, superconductivity, and so on.
So how does it couple to some varies, I don't know, so this is a fictitious magnetic field?
This is a model. So we assume that the bulk is a S-wave superconductivity. And so we're just considering the how those superconducting order parameters can change spatially near the surface. So then Zeeman field actually acting on Dirac fermions. And this induces some finite momentum of the Cooper pairs. So depending on the direction of moment, those two regions of the surface, those Cooper pairs, momentum of the Cooper pairs can have, for instance, plus Q and minus Q momentums.
Also, are you at zero temperature or at finite temperature? So why do you write Ginzburg-Landau, which is sort of fluctuation?
Okay, so basically we can consider both the ground state and the final temperature, but we are not considering any fluctuation, but just performing a mean field analysis of the Ginzburg-Landau model. That's all. So we are not that ambitious. Just we are performing a mean field, tractable calculations. And okay, so then so we have a physicist magnetic field at the center of this domain wall along the y directions. So then this is a calculation of the superconducting order parameters, the phase of the superconducting order parameters. So of course, I mean, namely, since we have a magnetic field located along the domain wall, we can consider, from some analogy to the vortex lattice superconductors, vortex lattice phase of the superconductors under the field, we may have some vortices to appear along this domain wall with some distance. And that is actually true in numerical calculations. So this is the profile for the phase of the order parameters. And here, this is the domain wall region. And we have some phase winding here, there, like this. And those are equidistant vortices appear. And the distance of this intervortex distance is actually proportional to inversely proportional to the magnetic field. So the basically, the B, if B is zero, then it goes to infinity. But if you increase the B, then this distance becomes shorter and shorter. And so then we can consider the variable to Jahn type equations. And it's really instructive to consider the case of the isolated vortex. So namely, that we assume that those vortices are distant far enough. And then we can, so that we can consider that each vortices can be treated in isolated situations. So in that case, the Buivre-Dujardin equation is written in this way, and the delta can be of course spatially dependent, and that is basically linearly dependent around the vortex core, and.
I have a very subtle question. So for the delta, if you can see the smell spin down, if spin up, you write delta, the number spin down should be minus delta.
Okay,
so,
sorry.
I mean for the gap, for the other parameter, if you spin up is delta.
Which slide are you?
Now this happening.
Okay.
Yeah, the number if the delta for snap is positive, then the for snap for spin down is negative because it's precise beyond precise spin down. Other parameter, then if you just change spin, then it's just
So when you define this, so this probability of the Hamiltonian is being multiplied by c dagger from the left, c dagger c the Nambu spinner from the left, and the Nambu spinner from the right. Uh-huh. When you define these Nambu spinners, you define the way it's C up dagger, C down dagger, C down and minus C up. So that is sort of absorbed. Minus sign so down is absorbed in definition.
So I didn't catch your question. But, I think I'm correct. in the number representation, Buivre-Dujardin equation takes this form. So then the solution to this equation is obtained like this. And And there is the digital calculations actually can be traced in analogous way as DG. And then we have some chemical potential down here and there. And that also says that if chemical potential vanishes, then those two downs disappear and some symmetry changes. And we can also say that, okay, so since we have this exponential term, so if the interdistance of the vortices is really finite, and then those overlap or the wave function could be pretty much reduced, suppressed. And this is a case of the single vortex, and so then we can connect many vortices in a form of the chain. So then we have a tidal body minor fermions like this, that is very similar to Kitaev's model, but with some small change. And we don't have an index A or B. And the transfer integral of the minor fermions, I'm talking about just the nearest neighbor transfer integral, can be calculated using one-way functions, which I have explained in the previous slide. And that takes this form. So namely, the chemical potential is really crucial to determine its transfer integral. So with the chemical potential there, they cross the Dirac nodal point. So then the transfer integral change the sign. So that means that there is some topological phase transitions from class D to BDI to D. And also, in the case of the mu equal to zero, so it's also true that the number of minor zero moles actually becomes equivalent to the number of the vortices. But of course, I mean, if the chemical potential mu is finite, then we only have a minor zero mole appearing only at the edge. So I think we can I have to also explain about the amplitude of the transfer integral, and since the overlap distance between the vortices nearest neighbor vortices depends on magnetic field or Zeeman field from the magnets, this also should depend on the amplitude of B. And actually, we found that this has some exponential dependence over starting from almost zero and really slowly arise. So then we can control the amplitude or sign of the transfer integral of the minor fermions by changing the amplitude of B phi or chemical potential of the original Dirac fermions. So probably we can play in this ground. Actually, the presence of the number of the Majorana zero moles could be related to the this famous Weinberg index theorem. And they say, okay, they say that actually this is related to the earlier calculations, earlier proposal by Czech University. On the Dirac fermions coupled to the Higgs field or Abelian Higgs model, and those which decays spatially much faster than 1 over r. So then they say, he says that the lower bound of the number of the zero moles is actually described in this quantity, and this is actually nothing but number of the vortices minus the under vortices. And in our case, we only have vortices, either vortices or under vortices. So this number of the zero moles actually equivalent to the number of the vortices. And so let me discuss some candidate to realize this situation. And as I mentioned, already mentioned, Kapp-Dopp's Bismuth selenide, hopefully that would be a topological superconductors. But on the other hand, I mean, we are not allowed to have all the materials, those candidates, be topological supergonators, but probably some materials, some candidate materials, will not be topological supergonators. So even in that case, we can play, by considering or fabricating those device structures, so then they could be a topological less non-trivial with a kind of Mariner edge modes, but still the interface can host Mariner fermions or chain of the Mariner fermions. If that is attached to the philharmonic domainable. Before ending, I'd like to just mention that the similar situation can be also realized in a different geometry. So this is a standard structure of the strong rational semiconductors and superconductors and also insulating magnets. So here a little bit the structure is really complicated, and although semiconductors are already available and so might be possible, but in this case we actually need a out-of-plane magnetic field to gap out the gamma point energy level or the underlying rational model. So by this gapping out we have two linearly dispersing modes, and those can be gapped again by supergonductive order parameters. So then we can play the same game as I explained. Okay, so this is my summary for my talk. So I try to convince you that magnetic texture or domain wall can accommodate a chain of vortices on the surface of the superconducting topological insulators. we see a topological transition from D to BDI to D, and with the chemical potential, when the chemical potential is varied across the direction of the point. So those are the emergence of the vortices could be detected through the STM or STS measurements, and also it contributes to the thermal transport. Well, of course, other contributions are there from phonons and magnons, so that might not be so practically useful. And this is one example of this kind of device structure, but more non-trivial effects might be possible on the interface with intrinsic textured magnets. Thank you for attention.
I have a question. I didn't follow the details of your proposal, but we have now infinite number of proposals from Mirror.
Right.
Or more than infinite, because I myself have proposed infinite number of candidates.
So, I know that.
Yeah, so the things that for each proposal now, I think that the proposer should at least say why this is the proposal experimentalists should pay attention to, because experimentalists otherwise will get very confused. So either you need to say, well, this is a very easy proposal to try. It's not a particularly good proposal, but it's very easy to try. Or you need to say, it's a very difficult experiment, but if it succeeds, it's going to destroy everything else.
Yeah, okay, so this is a very difficult challenge, I say, yeah. I mean, because I'm not familiar with the experimental techniques, but they need to fabricate the domain
wall. No, what is the advantage? Why should somebody look at it over, let's say, the beautiful proposal of Fu and Kane, or slightly less beautiful proposal of Sal, or even other proposals that are there? What are the advantages? I mean, I'm sure you explained the advantages. I didn't follow them. According to you, what are the advantages?
Okay, that's a good question. Thank you for the question. So first of all, we have some topological transitions. If the chemical potential can be tuned, or varied across the jack point, and that could be one some significant.
Meaning changing the magnetic field, you mean?
No, chemical potential.
Yeah, how do you tune it? I didn't get that. It said it can be tuned. How do you tune it?
I'm sorry about that. I'm not the scientist. I do not. I cannot explain exactly how we can tune the chemical potential, but probably by gating or something else.
But that proposal is intrinsic to almost all other proposals. Every proposal has a gate to tune the chemical potential.
Yes. But by gating, those I mean, tuning the chemical potential, we can see the some topological transitions. So that's one thing. And at the transition point, when the graph is described with the DDI, so then we have a number of fermion geomorphs. And that is another thing. So I think this is not realized other proposals, as far as I understand.
You can have this quantum wire with gates. So this probably is one advantage, that you have a natural wire, is one unique feature, I guess, you're proposing. That you have a natural neurona where this can be realized, right?
Yeah.
And maybe you can move it around if you can.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So actually, I didn't talk about anything on this on this thing, but if we can introduce another quantum parameters which counts as the model, you know, it could be possible to perform some manual embedding. There'll be another thing.
I mean, can you also take advantage of the fact that on the edge of the magnet, there's going to be a chiral wire on it, so that might allow them to do things as well, right? You can imagine having a superconducting island in the middle.
Just on the same, but so in Z2, do I understand correctly that now you want to consider this as one-dimensional topological insulator? So what are this?
No, this realization of this manner fermions along the domain wall, it's a kind of a one-dimensional object.
Right.
Yeah.
And what are now these Z2?
According to the homotopy class analysis, the D is captured by Z2. And BDI characterized by Z.
Right. D2 means
that we can have a Mariner fermion at H.
Right. So you may have this class D in 1B, you may have a Z2 topological insulator, whereas in BD1 Z topological insulator. That's correct. But for this, you would probably need this to be a one-dimensional insulator. So it'd be
that is applicable to the superconductors. So we are considering that, I mean, this is a kind of a superconductor that can host the Mariner fermions by the back quality, but only on the interface structure. So in this case, in the class D case, we have a Mariner H mode here or there. And when the chemical potential vanishes, and then we have a BDI class, then that is captured by V. So that means that the number of the fermions and the minor geomorphs are basically equivalent to the number of the vortices. So we have
names. So in this BD1, this is still a superconductor, so you say it's
sure.
So there are some, so why it becomes BD1, there are some additional symmetries that happen in this.
Okay, of course, so we can consider the, any perturbations which can break, basically break the symmetry, but our model just fall into this class.
So time versus symmetry properties change as you go from.
Yes.
So how does it happen in this realization that you?
Okay, so basically mu equals zero, and the particle host symmetry is recovered. Okay.
So I'm missing something basic here. So my understanding was that if I have a magnet that opens a gap, and then I have a superconductor, then I have a chiral Majorana mode that runs along that interface. Mm-hmm. So that means at the edge there should be a chiral Majorana mode.
Which edge? I forget.
Running, say, along here, at the edge of the magnet.
A magnet?
Yeah. sort of the interface between where I have a magnetic gap of the surface states and a superconducting gap of the surface state.
So it's different.
Yeah, it's different this way.
It's in-plane field.
Okay, so that's
the
difference. Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, so let's...